With joyful hearts we bow in thy presence, thanking thee for whom thou art, a God that is glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. And we are thankful, O God and Father, to express such gratitude unto thee, for we are assured in thy word that we ought to give thanks continually, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God and Father, as we are about to open the pages of truth, we cry to thee that thou would open our understanding, grant the wisdom and the knowledge, so that, O God and Father, that which is revealed will truly germinate in our hearts and bring forth fruit to thy praise and thy glory. That, O God and Father, simplicity concerning thy Son, the Lord Jesus, will be undertaken, and that thou, O God and Father, will have the glory, the praise, and the preeminence in all things as we seek to honor and glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We are cast upon thee at this present time. We ask these favors. As we commit all into thy care, we give thee thanks in the worthy, precious, and adorable name of thy dearly beloved Son, our blessed Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, our Bible study to this morning is taken from chapter 13. It's not a long chapter, but I'm trying to get through this chapter as quickly as possible so that certain things which would be presented to you would be more questions than answers. And as we go through these questions which would be presented, it would seek to highlight the differentiation between the beast that cometh out of the sea and the beast that cometh out of the earth. As we have seen in this chapter, it is a trinity of evil. And you may observe, as we read along, you may observe that from verse 1 to verse 3, it deals with the revived Roman Empire. And then we see the dragon, the devil himself, and then we see the beast, the emperor, the one whom Satan would give his power to, and finally, which goes up to verse 9, and finally, we will see another beast, which is the Antichrist. And so, as we read, please take note. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an heir, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell in to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he did great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should take an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that had understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's 666. Just want to highlight, I said, that there will be more questions than answers. We want to put this chapter in perspective, because there are a lot of confusion in respect to the names that have been spoken in connection with the beast that cometh out of the sea and the beast that cometh out of the earth. We know that the sea, figuratively speaking and symbolically speaking, it speaks of the unsettled, restless masses of mankind or humanity. And it is interesting to note that when we go back to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 3, we can see that this beast, which is the revived Roman Empire in verses 1 to 3, this beast, it reflects, it goes right back to the image of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 and 32. It says, this image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet, part iron, part of clay. And we realize that this obviously speaks of the four great kingdoms that has gone. At least Parth, the last one, it is just dormant. That is the Roman Empire. We have the Babylonian Empire, we have the Media-Persian Empire, we have the Grecian Empire, and we have the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, we understand from history, was born in 753 BC. In 753 BC. And we understand also that there was, they came in the year AD 476, the empire ceased to exist. This is just history. At that time, the ruler was Romulus Augustus. When you look at the name Romulus, it appertains to Rome, and Augustus, it appertains to the first of the imperial line. So we understand also that this man was a weak leader. And the empire has been defunct, and it is going to rise up again. Now, question. As we go along in this portion of scripture and says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, it's an expression which introduces the vast multitude of peoples. The vast multitude of peoples. And here it is, a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his head, heads, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Well, you know, seven speaks of completion and perfection. But it actually indicates the fullness of intelligent government. But As we go down, we will see that there is 10 kingdoms that is coming to play. But what is interesting here is in verse 2. Is in verse 2, we are going to start our questions. We notice, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. When we go back to Daniel chapter 7, you will see that the principle is reversed. Why? Question. So you can take a note in respect to this. And what we are trying to do is to cover an area as quickly as possible so that many may understand the signification between these two beasts. Now, what we want to do, and these, we're going to list some names here, and I don't want to be influential in respect to this, but I will leave it to the Spirit's guidance so that we can be challenged. Now, there are many names given in connection with these two. The Emperor. But I'm just going to call some, and you can take down where it came from, and then we'll put it in its right perspective so that we get a clear-cut picture of who is who. I'll call the first one. The prince that shall come, Daniel 9:26. The prince shall come, that shall come, Daniel 9:26. We're going to put it in the correct perspective. I'm not going to say which is which, but when we are dealing with our studies, we want to isolate these two in respect to their names. And we can classify them. We can seek to classify their job description. We want to get their job description, what they are designated to do or what they would be doing. The next one is the king in Palestine, Daniel 11, verse 36. He honors the God of forces, verse 38. Then you have the little horn, Daniel 7, as the king of fierce countenance. Then you have the desolator, Daniel 9:27. You can write down. If I'm calling too fast, just stop me. No problem. The little horn, Daniel 7, 8. We have the desolator, Daniel 9:27. We have the false prophet, Revelation 16:13, 19:20, and 20:10. Which one? I beg your pardon. The false prophet, Revelation 16:13, 19:20, and 20:10. All is Revelation. We have this one here, another beast, Revelation 13:11. Then you have the man of sin, or the lawless one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. You have the son of perdition, that wicked, lawless one, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. You have the bloody and deceitful man, Psalm 5, verse 6. The bloody and deceitful man, Psalm 5, verse 6. You have the Antichrist, 1 John 2, 18. The Antichrist, 1 John 2, 18. John 5, 43. You have the man of the earth, Psalm 10, verse 18. the man of the earth, Psalm 10, verse 18. You have the foolish shepherd, Zechariah 11, verse 15. The foolish shepherd, Zechariah 11, verse 15. You have the idle shepherd, Zechariah 11, 17. These are just names that are applied to these two. And we would like to differentiate these names, because today you would hear many people confusing the issue. So I would not indicate which one belongs to which one, but as we go along in our study, we want to isolate that most important. And finally, I'm not going to go any further. And finally, wisdom is necessary, which has been requested. Here is wisdom, verse 18. Let him that had understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Where are the wise? You know, in Proverbs chapter 8, there's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But you know, knowledge is wisdom. Wisdom, in fact, is knowledge used rightly. Wisdom is knowledge used rightly. In other words, you can have a knowledge of something, but if you do not know what is its function or how to use it, it has no significance. You just have a knowledge. So we want to exercise in this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I will close here and allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead so that we would obtain the simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another point, we mentioned the dragon, and we can possibly go in, just barely touch it, the meanings of his name, just in Revelation 12, indicate that this dragon, he was the red dragon, and then later on, you hear him saying, the great dragon, and what is the application? And then you had the old or ancient serpent, and then you had the devil and Satan coming together. So these can be handled quite nicely as we go into our studies. May the Lord bless, for his name's sake.
Amen. What is being opened up to us here at this time in Revelation 13, this world that have rejected God King has deteriorated, and things have gone, or at this point in time to come, things will go from bad to worse. And the world that is being prepared right now by Satan for the lawless one to come in, things are all the systems of the world are already in place. That this lawless one spoken of here as a beast rising up out of the sea, and it hath here, as you can notice very early, the features of all the world empires before. Let's just say that in short, without ruminating. It is said of him in the opening verse, that he had upon his head 10 horns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. He will have absolutely no respect for authority. He is going to claim, as later on in Second Thessalonians, we'll see very clearly, he seemed to have gone further than his father, the devil, has ever gone in the way that he speaks about God on the things of God. Upon his head, the name of blasphemy. But the world, having thrown off the rule of the Creator, having thrown off the rule of the Creator, and we can see what is happening in the world around us, governments that are put there by God to govern according to the Word of God, they have thrown out the Word of God and have made way for all of Satan's plan. We know that God is behind the scene. That is something that is certain. We, in verse 2, we already told the features of the beast that is going to come up out of the sea. He is a political man. This man is a political man. He is going to be as a wizard in order to get his way. Lawless, yes, but there is going to be some movement to make people think that he is a good man. That is something that is very clear. The verse two, the end of it said that his mouth, as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Amen. His power, his seat, and great authority. So Satan is quite prepared to take a back seat and to use a man to do his will. The trinity of evil will be dealt with by the Lord Jesus. And I just want to take my seat and allow others to make their contribution in relation to the subject matter that we have before us this morning.
It is important for us to notice that this chapter contains the trinity of evil. If we have in the true Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in this chapter, the devil also seeks to counterfeit what God has done. Our brother McDowell referred to this beast out of the sea. And let me pause to say that men will become so evil, we are already seeing it in our time, that they are described with bestial characteristics. Men have become like beasts, and therefore God is describing them that way because they are acting like beasts. So the beast out of the sea, our brother McDowell has already mentioned to us, and this clearly is out from among the Gentiles. If we look at verse 11, I beheld another beast. So this is not the same beast, but another beast. And this time he is out of the earth. Now the earth is always connected with Israel. So here is one that is really an Israelite. This is the beast out of the earth. And what we discover is that he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Now I want you to recognize in verse 8 of Revelation 13, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now this is a different lamb altogether. Notice the capital L. This is a reference to the Lord Jesus himself in verse 8. Why do I highlight that? It is also found in chapter 14, verse 1. I looked, and lo, a lamb, again the capital L, stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Who else could this be but the blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself? I mention that to say that this man or beast out of the earth, he is an imposter, and he seeks to impersonate the true Lamb. And that is why I'm saying this is the Antichrist. This is the one out of the earth or from among the Jewish people who seeks to impersonate Christ. And therefore, we find him as another beast out of the earth. But in the middle of the two beasts, there is, in verse 4, they worship whom? The dragon. Now, the dragon has already been described for us in the book of Revelation, as we studied earlier. This is no one else but the devil himself. And therefore, the first beast, the second beast, and right in the middle, the devil himself. There is the trinity of evil.
In a broad sense, do we not see here a repetition, or shall we say history repeating itself? Satan is the motivator of all that is evil. When the Lord Jesus was in this scene, Satan brought together the political world in the form of Pilate, a representative of the Roman Empire, and he brought together the religious element, the scribes, the Pharisees. And they conspired to get rid of the Lord Jesus. But he didn't have one who could take his place, as it were. Here now, let me hasten to add that in that attempt, he was defeated. But here now, he comes again. And again, he allies the political world, represented by the revived Roman Empire and the beast out of the sea, and the religious world. But this time he has a man who is a counterfeit, religious. Again, the Gentiles is represented by Rome, and the Jews as represented by this man, the Antichrist, coming together in an attempt to defeat the purposes of God. But thank God we know the end of the story.
Now, a very small point that might be useful is this. Now, the one mentioned in verse 11, this beast out of the earth, the real Antichrist, this Jew who seeks to impersonate Christ, he had two horns like a lamb. He is not a lamb, but he has two horns like a lamb. He is an imposter. But how do we know people? The Bible tells us plainly, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A fellow cannot go on for too long until you recognize who he really is by his speech. And so we discover he spoke like a dragon. So he exposes himself by his speech. In the Old Testament, there was a son of Isaac who tried to deceive him. But what Isaac discovered is that although the hands felt like Esau's hands, the voice was the voice of Jacob. And this is a very important point in discussing this matter. Though the man might have two horns like a lamb. They are not genuine, but they appear to be like a lamb. His mouth reveals who he really is. He spoke like a dragon. So this is also very true of us when we listen to those teachers who come around with false doctrine. Sooner or later, if you ask them what they think of Christ, I believe that is the key to discovering false prophets and false doctrine. There are a lot of people who say a number of things in religious circles. They sound very plausible. But if you test them on what do they think about Christ, you will always discover where they stand, because that is the acid test. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We as believers also have to be very careful that we are not pretenders, because God is going to expose us by our own mouths. May the Lord help us not to be like this man, but to really be for the Lord Jesus and to keep our gaze on him.
Describing these as beasts, our thoughts are brought to the book of the Psalm and chapter 49, verse 12. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. There's one thing we know about these, that they will not go on forever, because beasts are described as beasts that perish. Man being in honor abideth not. When we go through the history of mankind, God puts a man in a position and he does not honor God. That's what is meant here by abideth not. But the next verse, also in the same psalm, is verse 20. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Now, the key there is the word understand, the expression understandeth not. Man that is in honor and understandeth not. And then we put to that Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So these two are being described as beasts. We recognize two things about them. One, they are characteristic of men who has sinned and consequently cannot abide. But secondly, because of their sinful condition, they do not understand. There's no desire in their hearts for Christ, for God, so they do not understand. In speaking thirdly, of these men, and it's important that we understand some of these things, upon verse 1 of chapter 13, upon his head, the names of blasphemy. I understand it should be the names of blasphemy. Right away, the character as beasts come out. Understanding not. And in the response to the Creator, it is a matter of blasphemy. There's no proper response to God, no right response to God. How thankful we are then that these men will have an end. We look at the end of verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. The believers of that time, as believers of this time, need to recognize that this man will come to an end. God puts a limit on him. He should continue in verse 5 for 42 months, 3.5 years. 1260 days. He shall continue for 42 months. God will cause the wrath of man to please him, and the remainder of wrath he will restrain. When it comes to the other one, in verse 18, we read Let him count, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. It's appointed unto man once to die. God is going to bring an end to these two men. So first of all, we recognize they have no desire for God. And secondly, in spite of the alarm, how much God allows them to go through with their wickedness, they will come to an end.
Now, I'm sure Brother Rez is anxious to get the answers to some of his questions. I don't want to disappoint him, but I am not, I'm going to stay on safe ground. I leave that for other people to do. Now listen to this. What I want to be very clear on is the meaning of this word beast. When I sat back down just now, Brother Brian whispered something in my ear that brought back to my mind. The word beast as used in Revelation here is literally translated a dangerous wild animal. So we are not just playing with some little mouse that's running through the bush. These are dangerous wild animals that will tear you apart. And really, when it comes to the leopard I am not too sure about, but I'm clear that the bear is obstructing by its ferocity. In other words, as we, the believers, or even the Jews in that day, seek to press on for God, these men, and this is really a firm. My wife used to work for a firm. They called it transformer and motor repairs. They did a lot of things, electrical and stuff like that, and with motors and stuff. But she worked for a firm. So everybody in the firm was supposed to be devoted to getting the job done. There were those who did the paperwork. There were the technicians who went on the site. There was the boss in the office who gave his orders and so on. But the whole firm was engaged in the business. There were the men on the street driving the vans and trucks and stuff like that. But it was one firm. This trinity of evil is one firm. So that if in the book of Genesis we read that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, remember that the book of Colossians said that the Lord Jesus is the one who created it. So no matter which of the three performs the evil act, it is the same firm, the same group, and God holds them responsible together. And God is going to deal with them because of their wickedness in the earth in a day to come. But this is very important also. Now, the bear may be there, and also the lion. Now, the lion is more the one who will tear you apart in a very savage way. Such are the bestial characteristics of these persons. And then we have the dragon. Now, sometimes we see this word dragon, and really, today, what is a dragon? Actually, this word for dragon is a fabulous kind of serpent. So we don't have to explain who he is. It is very clear. The old serpent, Satan, the devil himself. And so it is that all the characteristics are coming out of these men. They behave like beasts. And what is their purpose? They are against Christ. The Lord Jesus warned his disciples, if the world loved me, it will also love you. But remember, it hated me. Therefore, it will also hate you. And that is precisely what is happening in this passage. There are those who hate God and his Christ. And consequently, they hate his people. They are going to come up against Israel in a very murderous way. And that is why they are seen as beasts. And the serpent, the dragon, the devil himself is connected with them. He's behind it all because he personally hates Christ.
Now, in seeking to make progress, just want to be helpful. First of all, in verse 1, it says that this beast rises out of the, is seen on the sand of the sea. A great beast rises up out of the sea. We turn to chapter 17 and verse 15. We want to make very brief comments very clearly. So we leave with conclusive understanding. Revelation 17:15 says, "And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." Very clear. The sea represents the nations. And this beast, the wild beast, is in contrast. The word here is a very different word from the one we read of in chapter 4 and 5, where you saw the four living creatures, the four beasts in our Bible, but it is four living creatures. Totally different word. And that's why Dave is emphasizing that when we come to Revelation 13, the Spirit of God chooses a very opposite word, wild beast, because the whole kingdom is like madmen, wild men, untamed, beloved. Let us not fool ourselves when the church goes home and the Spirit of God leaves the scene. The whole of this world, every man is going to be dominated by this kingdom of wild people, wild rulers. They're going to be like Nimrod. He's a type. He's conquering and conquering. He's like a madman who is bent on power, domination, dictatorship, and he's going to be very, very controlling. But it also says that there are 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns. Now these crowns are really diadems. These are not the crowns that the 24 elders, picture of glorified saints, have. The crowns of the glory of the elders are really Stephanos, rewards. And we are rewarded. Though we reign, we are rewarded because, don't forget, the Lord Jesus in the parable says, "Thou hast been faithful, reign thou over 2 cities, reign thou over 5 cities. So our reigning is really a reward to reign. But now here is imperial power, imperial majesty that they seek. 10 of them and 7 of them. And it says, it's like the leopard and so on, as Brother Ray says, if you look back at Daniel 7 especially. Daniel 7, you see the first 3 empires, Babylon, Lion, Medo-Persia was the second with the bear, and the third one was the leopard, the Greco-Macedonian empire. Now, the fourth one is really, was called just dreadful. It's really a combination of the other three, culminating where you have all the lion-like features, all the bear-like features, and all the leopard features coming together in one. And that's all it is. So when you come to Revelation, you see the culmination in this one. Daniel just says a dreadful beast. John, by the Spirit, describes it as really the culmination of the three. As we know, that's exactly how Daniel described it. He says, after this shall arise, and after this shall arise, and after this shall arise. And we get the dragon. And it says, in verse 2, it says, and the last part, the dragon gave him power and his seat. What did we say earlier the seat is? A throne. That's exactly what it is. It gave him a throne. He's going to be the dictator. And great authority. Nobody's going to stand in his way. I saw one of his heads wounded to death. The deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. This is going to be some great moment in the history of... Now, again, we need to understand that in the speaking of this, there is a play between the ruler and the kingdom. Just as there was a play between the angel of the church and the church. Because the angel is the responsible element of the assembly and represents the condition. Also, the same thing is done here by the Spirit of God. Because there is an intimate relation between the ruler and the people he rules. there is a very subtle go-between. In a sense, I believe you find the point of revival. That's why we say the revived Roman Empire. And on the, in another sense, I believe that the leader himself is going to go through some miraculous transformation. It's going to be a really moving scene that is going to impress the whole world. This is going to be what will capture. When man sees this, they're going to say, wow, this is the man. This is the man. All of them are going to be totally deceived according to 2 Thessalonians 2. It's going to be a deceitful moment for the world. And they're going to worship the dragon. That is what Satan is after. That is what Satan is after, my friend. He's going to set up these men, but he is going to be behind these men. And he is going to, like 1 Corinthians 10 explains to those who would go after the meats in the market and so on. He said, you better be careful, because behind those idols is demonic power. Let us not fool ourselves, beloved. That it will worship the dragon who gave the power to the beast, and they will also worship the beast. But notice, it doesn't say they worship the beast and then the dragon. It says they worship the dragon. Satan wanted that. He told the Lord Jesus, you bow down and worship me and all these kingdoms. Now Satan was defeated. So he said, I'm going to give it to this man. The same kingdoms that you refuse, I'm going to give it to this man. And he is going to make the way that I will be worshipped. I'm going to get what I wanted all along. Beloved, let me read this. Let's thank God that we have been delivered from worshiping the one who has brought us down. And except the grace of God had delivered us, we were heading to a lost, Christless, tormented eternity.
Perhaps in looking at also verse 8, we realize what happens to this world that has refused the one whom God has sent, all that dwell upon the earth. These are ones who have their interest only in what is going on in this world. Shall worship him. We go back to verse 4. They worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast. But then in verse 5, God tells us he shall continue 42 months. How thankful we are that those days will come to an end. God allows man to show the depth to which his heart would go. God allows man to reach the lowest of low points. God allows man to give himself fully to Satan so that when he judges, he might be justified. This is the God that is dealing with man here. He gives him every opportunity to reach the limits of wickedness that he is willing to do. And then he comes in and deals with judgment. In verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. You see, the devil he has no more access into heaven. Chapter 12 told us that he was kicked out. So he uses this man to blaspheme God, to turn everyone who is around that will follow him to curse God. And then he goes to war with the saints on earth.
Just to observe, beloved, that actually in verse 4 is that they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Is that another imitation? Not only that they worship the dragon, but they worship the beast also. The equal worship is now to be offered to the Father and to the Son. God has so ordered it that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So equal worship is being offered to the Father and the Son, and we find it in the same breath. They worship the dragon and they worship the beast. It's another imitation of the Trinity and the worship being offered. And the false prophet is sometimes called the Antichrist there in Jerusalem, is ordering all these things. And he is playing the part of a spirit sometime.
Just another little precious point. As we go, as I believe we should progress, okay? So I'm going down to now the verse 5. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, blasphemy. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now when you look at 42 months, we come up with how many years? 3.5 years. But are these the first 3.5 years or the last 3.5 years? This is very important. Which is it? The last 3. Thank you very much. Because the first 3 are where everything is set up. You need that first 3.5 years. Look, you see how in CARICOM, they've been planning. I don't know if it's 3.5 years, don't try and get this single market geared up. But you need, when it comes to getting all the countries get together and everything set up, it will take time. And he is going to be the mastermind in those 3.5 years. He's going to make sure that the entire Caribbean, don't think we're left out, USA included, okay, sir, all the countries of the West and the East are going to, the whole economy is going to be united on the one. If you look in the East, they'll have the euro. That's correct. In the Caribbean, I don't know what they have. Just a name. But soon they will have, things will be sorted out soon. But let's not be fooled. In those first 3.5 years, there is going to be strategic, the top notch of the world's brains are going to be at work to make sure that everything is in place. That when he rises up for these last 3.5 years, no one will be able to stand in his way. And that's why it says in the end of verse 4, who is like to the beast and who is able to make war? Nobody no man on earth will be able to stand in his way. It's going to be absolute dictatorship. And he's going to have complete control. Verse 6, he opens his mouth and blasphemes against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. So we understand that even in those first 3.5 years, the tabernacle, the temple and so on will be built. And all of that is going to be set up. Because in Matthew 24, which we read earlier, a previous day, that's Daniel 9. He establishes a covenant with them for the whole week, for 7 years, in which they can sacrifice and so on. But when the first 3.5 is finished, he says, stop this foolishness. I am the one to be worshipped. You know, I am the one to be worshipped. And he also blasphemed those that dwell in heaven. He has no respect, heaven on earth. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. Beloved, these are saints on earth. These are the ones that come out of chapter 6 of Revelation. If you read chapter 6 in Revelation, chapter 7, you have the 144 of Israel who are sealed. And then you have the multitude which no man can number. Those are Gentiles. But many of them, Jews and Gentiles, beloved, will be killed. It's going to be a terrible time. God is going to, by the seals and so on, kill men. But this man himself is going to have his part, killing people all over the place. But it's going to be primarily saints he's really after. He'll make war with the saints and overcome them. And that's why when you read the seals, when we were reading the seals yesterday, you remember the sixth seal. The sixth seal. How long, O Lord? Was there not avenge our blood? And he has power, was given him over all kindreds. He rose up out of the sea. All kindreds and towns and nations and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Now, if you read the translations, I believe that the simplest approach to this expression in verse 8 is, if you use the King James as is, I believe the simplest way of reading this verse is, whose names were not written in the book of life, comma, of the Lamb that was slain, comma, from the foundation of the world. Where the foundation of the world, in my mind, is really connected with the written in the book of life. Not the slain of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus, I know there are those who say that the Lord Jesus was slain in purpose in eternity. That is as they desire to say. But in the translations, it reads, from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb slain. Where the emphasis is not so much trying to suggest anything beyond that they, in purpose, their names were written in that book of life. Not so much that the Lamb was slain in eternity past.
Just going back to the 3.5 years mentioned, we would see that the first 3.5 years in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, is mentioned in verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. But there are terminologies in Scripture that are used effectively for the second 3.5 years, which is classified as the Great Tribulation. Verse 21 of Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation. Now, the other terminologies that we are going to speak of, I'm just going to mention it. It speaks of the time of the end. That's in the second half of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period, which is in Daniel 12 and verse 4. Then it have the hour of temptation, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, and the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Thank you.
Now I want to make an appeal. We believers, many of us have children. And I want to encourage you, do not allow your child to come to the meeting with a coloring book or a comic book. It is not smart. You know, I discovered that as a teacher, that really when children come to us in the primary school, those children are very, very fluent in speaking the dialect. And as a teacher, I had to make the point of speaking standard English when I spoke, because I wanted them to learn it. And the only way for a child really to learn something is to hear it or see it from his parent on a regular basis. The children came to us fluent, knowing Beijing. No teacher that I know ever took out chalk and book to teach a child Beijing, as we call it. Every child came knowing it pretty well. When we bring our children to the meetings, give them a Bible, a notebook, and a pencil. I believe in being a serious Christian from the start. And our children are going to be helped. Listen to me. In the schools, the children who came from Christian homes could read 10 times better than the other children. Because the children who came to us from Christian homes were accustomed taking hymn books and Bibles and stuff to the meeting. And as they listened and as they made an effort, they were better readers by far. And this means they did better in school normally than other children who were struggling with reading. I say all that to say this. We who are older, we who are adults, there's some good tools that we can use. There's the Bible itself. No substitute for it. King James is a wonderful translation. Sometimes there are little things that could be a little different to help us understand it in these modern days. And this book here, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, I have found this to be a tremendous help to me. The point I am making is that in Revelation chapter 13, where we are, if we look for the word wonders in verse 13,
And the word miracles in verse 14 is the same word. Wonders and miracles are actually the same word. And in that book there, they are recorded under the same number and the same name. So what do we have here? And this is what I stood to highlight. I just mentioned the other thing, by the way, because it's very important. We ourselves as adults coming to the meeting should be really paying attention, taking notes, listening. Sometimes you get tired and you want to fall asleep. This morning I found it to be very overpowering. I think it's because we sang late into the night last night. But he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven, verse 13, on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth, that's a key word to it. The wonders here are really indications. They are not real miracles. That's what I'm trying to say. These are not real miracles. But the man will be able to so perform that these things look like they're really happening. You see, fireworks, they'll have a certain appearance, but there's a certain falsity to them. And this man is going to perform miracles that deceive. I am contrasting him with the Lord Jesus, really. For in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus performed 7 miracles. These were not appearances of things. These were real. He turned water into wine. He raised Lazarus from death. He really healed the nobleman's son. He really fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. These were not jokes. This was not that the Lord pretended anything. It was real. But the Antichrist is a real pretender. And what looks like miracles to people are going to be really deceptions on his part. I want us as believers to take that to heart because it is a fact. If you look up the word for miracles in Strong's, it is a deception. It is not real. But I also want to mention in that respect that in verse 3 of Revelation 13, there's another word to zero in on. It is the word, and all the world wondered after the beast. This word wondered is a word that means they became insane after the beast. Look how people worship the Pope. And what does the Pope have to offer? Zero. Pope Mobile, that's all he got. He lives in the basilica, right? And the word basilica is a word that means palace. So he lives like a king. And there are people who are going insane after the man. Well, they're going to go really insane after the beast. And that is what Revelation 13 is telling us. I repeat, the word wondered here is a word that means to be insane after somebody. And that is precisely what is going to happen.
Just like
we
us
just
to...
Say that, the son of perdition...
Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed that and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, set it in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. In verse 7, the mystery of iniquity that already work. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. We mentioned earlier that everything is set in motion. Everything is set in motion. monetary system, political system, I should say first, monetary system, cultural system, everything here, every system on earth, even cultural system, are tools in the hand of Satan. I just want to carry on a little from the point that David made just now about the deception. Let nobody fool you. Let no man, regardless to who they might be, fool us. That's why we have the book. And we are called upon to know the truth. I think it was yesterday, two of us were speaking in relation to whether we will know the man of sin, the lawless one. I do not know why Bible dispositors and evangelists, I do not know why they call the first beast the Antichrist. I do not understand that. But we know in relation to the second beast, the one coming up out of the earth, we know that he is the Antichrist. We will not, the church, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose names were written in God's book before the foundation of this world, we would not know the man of sin. He will not be revealed. But one thing that I am sure of, that man, seeing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is that near, that man is alive on earth somewhere. That man, whosoever he might be, is alive on earth somewhere, in government or in university. Because one thing that is very sure, that he is going to be able to master all the technology of the day. And I don't have to name them. You know them better than I do. What he is after, he wants the place of God. The devil knows that that is an impossibility. But this man, when he comes, he is going to outlaw worship to every god but himself. I can't put that any stronger. He is going to outlaw worship to any god but himself. He wants the place of God. And the time is coming when the church is gone, when Israel will be able to build a temple, whether adjacent to what is there on and Mount Moriah, or whether what is there will be moved out of the way, we don't know. But what we do know, there is going to be a temple built in troublous time. He is going to allow that. The purpose, that he is going to sit there on the throne and claim to be God. And those who refuse to worship him are going to be slain. Power is given unto him to make war with the saints. And many are going to die. But God is going to preserve the life of many of his own. He is going to show himself that he is God. I do not have to say any more. He is going to come to a dreadful end with himself and the one coming up out of the earth, the Antichrist, that they are going to be cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, alive. Let nobody deceive you. You know the truth? Stand by it. Sell it for nothing. Thus, be faithful to what you know.
Just a few more observations. We see in chapter 7 that God seal his own. In chapter 7 of Revelation, it says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now in the ending part of chapter 13, we find Satan is imitating that. For those whom God sealed, they were preserved, they were protected. And he is imitating that in verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So here, those whom he mark, they are the ones who will be able to live. Those who do not receive his mark will die in one way or another. So that's another imitation he is coming up with. But I know the time has been slipping away. And just to read from chapter 19 and make a remark there, Brother Mark took us there. Chapter 19 and verse 20. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." So here God says, you want imitation? I am going to give you imitation. "I took two of my servants alive to heaven. I took Elijah and I took Enoch alive to heaven. I'm going to send you two alive to hell in the lake of fire. And these are the two who did not see death. They went straight to hell alive."
I just want to read in the second book of Thessalonians and chapter 2. And verse 9 in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2. "Even him," and verse 9, "whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Verse 11. "And for this cause, God sent them strong delusions that they should believe the lie." In the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders and signs, which he did by him in the sight of you all." He did them all by God. "But the Antichrist, he did them all under the power, influence, and authority of the devil himself."
Well, brother, you have to leave it there.